Coming up next from the Grassy Knoll, a terrifying look into the Orwellian world of brainwashing, disinformation, and ultimately, control over you. You. I'm going to tell them it's a special edition of the Grassy Knoll. We're going to call it Arachnophobia, and with the key word is Iraq or Iraq, depending on how you want to do it. And this is Dr. Swain, and I have my good friend, the Visigoth, here, right? Spelled correctly on the website.
Yeah.
At pascalradio.org, where you can find this, and other programs that are archived, as well as indie media as well. So, what's going on with... What are you finding out? I'm looking at all kinds of stuff today.
Well, I think we should break with our regular routine in the sense of we don't really do much with regard to current events. And right now I think we should say some things and make some projections with regard to what's going on with Iraq and Saudi Arabia. Because if we don't do it now, we're going on record as saying that this is taking place, this particular show, on August 16th.
Friday. Good day.
August 16th. We like Friday.
Yeah.
Because it won't mean as much if it's said after the fact. And it's not so that we want to become necessarily soothsayers, but because certain things align themselves, and you've got to extrapolate where they're going to end. And right now we're looking at a situation, this brinksmanship, that is going to bring about the downfall of the United States. And Dr. Swain, do you want something to say about
that? Yeah, I just was going through. We're going to quote some sources because some of the people might think things are a little strange. This came from The Guardian today, and I don't know if people remember Brent Scowcroft or not. But he was, I believe, a security advisor to President Bush the First, and I think Ronald Reagan. I got to go back and dig around in my history books. But nevertheless, he made the comment, which was quoted in today's edition, which is August 16, 2002, that U.S. advisor warns of Armageddon. One of the Republican Party's most respected foreign policy gurus yesterday appealed for President Bush, and that's the current one, to halt his plans to invade Iraq, warning that an Armageddon in the Middle East will occur. The outspoken remarks from Brent Scowcroft, who advised a string of Republican presidents, including Mr. Bush's father, represented an embarrassment for the administration on a day in which it was attempting to rally British public support for an eventual war. See, and that concerns me right there, eventual war. Goes on to say the retired general who advised Presidents Nixon and Ford predicted that an attack in Iraq could lead to catastrophe. Israel would have to... Israel would have to expect to be the first casualty, as in 1991, when Saddam sought to bring Israel into the Gulf conflict. This time, using weapons of mass destruction, he might succeed, provoking Israel to respond, perhaps with nuclear weapons, unleashing an Armageddon in the Middle East, as he was quoted in the Wall Street Journal. What do you think about that?
Well, what I want to ask you is, can I piggyback that with something that I'd like to read?
Sure.
All right, and I want you to respond to this afterwards, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. It's about a book called The Trend Report, and this is what it says.
What's the name of it again?
It's the Trend Report.
Okay.
By David Nasbet. And it starts, quote, "Public opinion making is the jewel in the crown of the Olympians." And I'll tell you who the Olympians are later. "For with their thousands of new science social scientists at their beck and call, and with the news media firmly in their hands, new public opinions on almost any subject can be created and disseminated around the world in a matter of 2 weeks." It gets good here. "This is precisely what happened when their servant George Bush was ordered to make war on Iraq. Within 2 weeks, not only the U.S., but almost the entire world public opinion was turned against Iraq and its president Saddam Hussein. These media change artists and news manipulators report directly to the Club of Rome, which in turn reports to the Committee of 300, the Illuminati, at whose head sits the Queen of England, ruling over a vast network of closely linked corporations who never pay taxes and are answerable to no one, who fund their research institutions through foundations whose joint activities have almost total control over our daily lives. This was written, this quote I just read, talking about that book, The Trend Report, was written by Dr. John Coleman in the book called, for short, The Story of the Committee of 300. The long title is Conspirators Hierarchy, The Story of the Committee of 300. He wrote that in 1991.
That's scary when you figure things are coming to fruition pretty much the same way. And you talked about the manipulation of information in the last couple of weeks. What have we been seeing?
Exactly. And as we saw CNN this morning, I believe it was CNN or Fox, one or the other. Doesn't really make a difference.
Right. They're all...
You know, we've got the pictures of the Iraqi women out there with their armbands, you know, marching in lockstep. We've got Saddam with his right hand raised all over the place. Listen, the guy is not a great guy, but Iraq does not have this coming.
And keep in mind, another source you guys can go to is fair.org. That's F-A-I-R, that one of the sites that we carry, broadcast on 102.9, which stands for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. They made the comment that much of the film that they're using on these things were shot 10 and 15 years ago. In other words, you're seeing Saddam shooting guns off in front of a podium. That was taken prior to the first Gulf War.
It's 11 years old.
It's older than 11 years old. It's actually older than 11 years old. And so when you're seeing the managed news, it's exactly what it is, managed. And I was talking to the Visigoth this morning about the fact that yesterday, quick blurb again, and I don't recall what news service, and that's why I emphasize it's important to look at multiple news services and just don't say focused on Fox or CNN. You got to look at them all because they're all giving you fragmented pieces of information because I haven't been able to find it again, was the fact that the Iraqis had allegedly been developing a remote-controlled drone aircraft that was capable of carrying nuclear and biological and chemical weapons, here we go again, that could travel across the desert below radar detection and fly right into Israel. And that, to me, knowing what I know about technology, knowing where the Iraqis were 10 years ago, the most advanced thing they had, which was a Scud, which was a NATO nickname for a clone V-2 buzz bomb that the Russians were embarrassed to use in the 60s, and I find it totally unbelievable that they have moved forward to that level in technology, considering the fact that they've been basically isolated by the United States and its allies, or its ally, Britain, for the last 11 years or so. Just baloney.
I mean, what we're being fed is a complete bad bill of goods. And what's going to happen, my take was that if Congress could raise reasonable doubt that might make Bush look bad, with regard to going in there, that this is not the will of the people, one of two things would happen. If Bush felt that this was coming to a halt, we would have our internal attacks, and then they would be blamed on the Iraqis, which, if we've not mentioned it before, it's funny because they wouldn't mention the presence of Iraqis in our country back in 1995 with the Murrow Building, McVeigh, and
sure.
McNichols. And,
wait a minute. We all know that he acted alone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. One of the lone gunmen
who
gets caught because he's got a hanging license plate on the back of his car.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So now all of a sudden we'll have Iraqis inside our border. I'm not saying that they're not complicit, but they're doing it with the will and the aid of our government, which is apostate as far as we're concerned and is fully hooked in to the Committee of 300, the Illuminati, because we must be brought down to fit into a one-world government. Now, if I can... Do you remember a few weeks ago when we read the FEMA edict about preparing for mass destruction attacks?
Yeah, in fact,
attacks?
We discussed that here.
Right. I just want to touch upon it again. Listen, FEMA, the federal agency, and that's Federal Emergency Management Agency, charged with disaster preparedness, is engaged in a crash effort to prepare for multiple mass destruction attacks on U.S. cities. The agency has already notified vendors, contractors, and consultants that it needs to be prepared to handle the logistics of aiding millions of displaced Americans who will flee from urban areas that may be attacked, and it gave a deadline of January 2003. Your contact in Florida, someone with whom you're acquainted.
That's correct.
Said this is absolutely true, right? He said that
absolutely true, but absolutely undoable from his perspective.
All right. Now, FEMA went back after Newsmax, the news website on which this was posted. And here's a quote. Though the agency has denied the program to some of our readers and has made misleading claims about Newsmax's original story to members of the press, the basic facts of the story remain unchanged. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but basically Newsmax and the founder, Chris Ruddy, stuck to their guns and said, no, you did it.
Yeah, I know they did it. I mean, why this guy that I consulted with is not... I don't want to give away his position simply, but let me assure you that in the local scheme of emergency management, meaning at the state of Florida and county level, it's fair to say that he's at the close to the deputy number two position in a county in Florida. So, you know, he knows what's going on. He's not some guy that just drives a truck and, you know, makes sure they're gassed up and things like that.
Yeah.
He sees the same press you did. They might have it on a secure phone line or what have you, but he says it's real.
I just wanted to rehash that because Newsmax stuck to its guns. FEMA tried to do a little control damage, and at least in this case, it didn't work out. But now let's remember something else. There was a story that appeared on www.truthout.org, and it's entitled Camps for Citizens, Ashcroft's Hellish Vision.
You sent me that too, by the way. That's
well, you know, we're talking about all these new catchphrases to categorize citizens. I mean, the guy that's under scrutiny for anthrax is be called a person of interest. What is that?
He's a suspect.
They claim he's not.
Yeah.
Right. He's a suspect. They're tailing him. They're dogging him. They're making his life miserable.
And they may be wrong.
We'll charge him. Yeah. We'll let him go.
That's my position, you know.
But he's a person of interest now, which means they can do whatever they want. And they can bring your life to
ruin. They can make your life absolutely a living hell.
Now, another thing, if I could, with these enemy combatants, and this is something else we'll put up on the website. It just come to my mind, so we'll definitely get up there to prove that we're not talking out the side of our necks. What about civil internees? Do you remember when we came across that categorization
right.
and to whom that might apply? People like ourselves,
yeah.
perhaps?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we saw this, folks. I believe it's off a Department of Defense website. We'll put it up for you. It was called the Field Manual, the Military Police Field Manual. And it categorized, just like we're saying, certain kinds of, shall we say, ne'er-do-wells or whatever in the eyes of the government. And one of them was civilian internees. Well, guess who that is? That could be anybody. Those are domestic people. They're not going to be treated as harshly as enemy combatants, but why are they there?
We'll get an extra bowl of grits or something for breakfast. That's the difference when they round us all up in those buses. But why are they there exactly? And let me interject something, because like I said, this is kind of a loose thing today. One of the things I learned today that's not being covered on the news, when we're talking about detainees, is that there's been over 30 suicides at the Guantanamo Bay place already. It's been swept under the rug. The government, which is now starting to make mainstream news, is concealing the names of the Arab detainees that they have over a couple of hundred, or almost 2,000. Maybe I'm incorrect. A pretty high number. And they have not released the names of these people, so their families don't even know where they are. They don't know what prisons they're at. They haven't had a right to counsel. They haven't had a right to anything, and the argument is national security, because if we give these names, then the Al-Qaeda are going to know where these people are at and going to put in new replacements and this and that. That's hogwash. And this guy they've got up here, this Mossad guy that's acting as his own defense, he's had more legal rights extended to him than the 2,000 people we got detained across the country. It's an embarrassment to anybody that is a lover and a respecter of the United States Constitution.
Well, they struck the harsh contrast between Padilla, who's an American citizen, who's under lock and key in some dungeon
who
someplace.
They admitted today is so low and so far down the toilet that he doesn't really factor into the scheme of things.
And yet, a foreigner, Moussaoui, has got himself a raging court case going in light of day. So what's wrong with this picture? I'd like to read something else if I could.
Sure.
All right. This has to do with what is happening to us and what has been happening to us. Again, it comes from Coleman's book, The Story of the Committee of 300. What we face today is not only the loss of our freedom and the very fabric of our nation, but far worse, the possibility of the loss of our souls. The steady chipping away at the foundation upon which this republic rests has left an empty void, which Satanists and cultists are rushing to fill with their synthetic soul material. This truth is difficult to accept and appreciate because there was nothing sudden about these events. If a sudden shock were to hit us, a cultural and religious shock, we would be shaken out of our apathy. But this is gradualism, which is what Fabianism is. It does nothing to raise the alarm. Because the vast majority of Americans can see no motivation for the things I have described, I being Coleman, they cannot accept it. And so the conspiracy is scorned and often mocked. By creating chaos through presenting hundreds of daily choices our people have to make, we have come down to a position where, unless motivation can be clearly shown, all information is rejected. This is both the weak and the strong link in the conspiratorial chain. Most thrust aside anything that has no motive, so the conspirators feel safe behind the ridicule poured upon those who point to the coming crisis in our nation and our individual lives. However, if we can get enough people to see the truth, the motivation block gets weaker until it will eventually be forced aside as more and more people become enlightened and the false notion that this cannot happen in America is dispensed with. And finally, the Committee of 300 is counting on our maladaptive responses to govern our reaction to created events, and it will not be disappointed as long as we as a nation continue in the present way we respond. We must turn responses to created crisis into adaptive responses by identifying the conspirators and exposing their plans for us so that these things become public knowledge. I mean, again, this is 11, 12 years old. Coleman saw it then, and God, they must have really thought he was a nutcase. I mean, we come up with this stuff and we're told that, you know, we're growing antennas out of the back of our heads.
Oh, yeah. Where did you get this stuff anyway? Didn't you tell me this was available on the web and then it has disappeared?
I'm really sorry to have not had said this on an earlier show because I had a feeling this would disappear. I got a newsletter.
Let me interrupt. You know what we could do?
What?
We could make a spot on the website, and since this guy wanted this thing distributed anyway, maybe for some token contribution, a buck or two, and an envelope self-addressed, we'll send you a CD of this thing.
All right. Well,
we're
thinking
it?
On our feet here, so understand that we're processing this as we're going along.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the problem would be is that we would probably be actionable because it was stated, and I'm not sure if this was Coleman. Coleman was not as connected to this as a middle person.
Maybe we could post it on the website.
But then, first of all, we're depriving Dr. Coleman
of
sales. And secondly, the publisher would find us actionable because we're circumventing it.
We'll talk to you about it. You can call us up and we'll whisper things to you.
Well, the thing is that through APFN.org in the newsletter, the link came up. Get it while you can. Okay? And, I mean, this thing is a tome, folks. A notebook-sized paper. It's 152 pages, double-sided. But here was the note that was on it. It said, the story of the Committee of 300 by Dr. John Coleman is reproduced here without the permission of the publisher, American West Publishers. I am publishing it here so that as many people as possible may know the truth. And I do not know who this comes from. There was a name, no doubt it was a pseudonym.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was up the Friday that we did one of our last shows, and I checked it the next morning.
It was gone.
It was gone. I emailed the individual who said it may come back in another time, and in turn put up 1984. So.
Well, let me restate what I just said. We'll try to come up with a way for you to find access to this on your own.
Yeah, this is just an amazing primer with regard to the hierarchies of the secret and not-so-secret societies. And Coleman puts the finger on the two biggest traitors that this nation has had, and it is Kissinger and Brzezinski.
Well,
and there's a book out there by Brzezinski. It's out of print now. But
what's that?
Called,
what do the two have in common?
Yeah, they are. They're foreigners.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's got something to do with something. So, yeah.
You missed the other.
No, you can't see this, folks, and you don't want
but
to.
But you know.
Yeah.
Let me pull us back toward the arachnophobia real quick here, and then we'll kind of oscillate.
Both throw
really
kind of
move back and forth.
Right, yeah, baby.
This came out today out of WorldNetDaily.com. That's one word, another good site to go to, WorldNetDaily.com. Intelligence sources believe that Saudi Arabia is quietly helping the establishment of Al-Qaeda in northern Iraq and nearby Syria according to a geostrategy direct the Global Intelligence News Service. Saudi princes are desperate to ensure the status quo, and that means keeping Saddam in power. The key Saudi fear is that the United States will create a democratic, pro-Western Iraq. Such a state would win tens of billions of dollars in foreign investment, getting back to our friends here,
yep,
while its neighbors are ignored. At that point, why would Washington need Saudi Arabia? The sources believe the leak of a Pentagon briefing last month on the future of Saudi Arabia was the clearest U.S. signal to the royal family that Washington is the only real friend Riyadh has. Take away U.S. protection and Saudi Arabia will be eaten by the wolves. And that, by the way, there's been several news articles about this leak from the Pentagon briefing. What do you got?
Oh, no, you just triggered something, and that is, as you know, Dr. Swain, and as our listeners know, I've referred to Eric John Phelps a number of times. He's the author of Vatican Assassins, and he has a scenario that now that Saudi Arabia is on the radar screen with regard to an attack, his take is this, because we are, no matter what happens with the Fourth Reich that Bush is leading, we are going to get whacked like Hitler got whacked. And he came up with a scenario. Now that we go into Saudi Arabia, whether we do it or not, whether somebody does it and blames it on us, if we dare touch Mecca or Medina or the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim world will go ballistic. And I don't know, regardless of the fact that they're Bedouins and can't get their act together as we've always thought, but that could be the beginning of the end for us.
So consider the fact that we're smart enough to know how far to... When I say we, I don't mean you and me and the fact that we agree, but the, you know where to go, how far to go.
We do.
None of that stuff's in Iraq, right?
No.
See?
No, it's Saudi Arabia, and I tell you, I don't, you test everything that you hear. He's given good information, and with perhaps one exception, Dr. Swain, that you make especially, you pretty much go along with what he said. And, of course, what we're talking about is his take on whether or not there really is an airborne nuclear bomb. All right. Now, besides that, this scenario now starts to become much more doable, probable. And he also ties in, and Phelps does, to perhaps a Muslim-Chinese invasion. Now, that seems like a stretch right now, but it's not.
Into where? What region?
Right here.
Into the United States.
On this soil. We all know that the Chinese are in Mexico. The Border Patrol have said they have seen them. They have wounded or killed them in firefights that you don't hear about.
Yeah.
All right. And there's websites for that, too, with the Border Patrol. We'll throw that one up, too. I can't remember it off the top of my head. We know the Chinese are in Cuba. We, in fact, have a missile crisis like we had in 1960 going on in Cuba right now, and it's the Chinese that are there. They are running the canal for the Panamanians.
With our help, by the way. That's an amazing thing. I want to thank President Jimmy Carter for being the first guy to, in modern times, he probably did more to wreck this country than most people will ever believe.
Well, yeah, he was a true Christian. However, what Coleman is saying too is that they all play a part. They're all just another.
They have just their little piece,
That's right.
And maybe I'll give the guy a benefit of the doubt. Maybe he thought he was doing the right thing. Because, he made this case that if Americans knew the history of how the canal zone was built, they'd be ashamed to own it. And that comment was directed to the fact that at the time we paid white men who worked on that canal in gold, and an ounce of gold for an ounce of work, and we paid black men who worked on it in silver. He said, we treat you separate but equal. Here's an ounce here and here's an ounce here.
Well, he pulls out the justification, and I'm not saying true.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden that rationale becomes exposed because he needs to have some kind of chip to play with regard to swinging public opinion in his direction. And that's what we're seeing right now. All of a sudden now we're talking in Iraq about this airman who's been missing for 11 years.
Yeah, that's more of the news thing there again, getting back. Good point. Back to news. I'll just keep buzzing back and forth here. For you guys who think out there that we got a long ways to go, more U.S. troops in Jordan for the Iraqi offense. This is out of my favorite website, DEBCA, which is run by the Israeli, my good friends in Israel.
and have a little risk factor involved. But go ahead.
They do have a risk factor, but occasionally they're right on target. So I want to mention this. Notwithstanding official denials, the 4,000 U.S. troops who begin landing in Jordan Monday, August 12th will be into Aqaba Monday, August 12th, will be transferred to the northeast Jordanian desert region bordering Iraq. Officially, they have come in for a 3-week joint exercise with the Jordanian army. So this is probably accurate, because official comments. But, here we go, Debka files military sources report that an American increment supplies the U.S. forces, American increment supplements the U.S. force already stationed in Georgia, I'll get it right here yet, Jordan, raising the total close to 8,000 troops. King Abdullah and the Jordanian ministers have been consistent in denying the presence of American troops on their soil. They insist the Jordanian bases will not serve as jumping-off points for an assault against Iraq. These denials were repeated by the Jordanian king when he called on the Saudi crown prince Abdullah in Jeddah on Monday, August 12th. So, then it goes on to say in the central front, the American war plan calls for a U.S. force to build around a backbone of armored and special forces to push into western Iraq, seize strategic groups of air bases, which they classify as H-3 Northwest, H-3 Northeast, and H-3 Main Base, which consists of a stretch of a highway, by the way, and a strip of a highway running on the western Iraq border into central Jordan. Then they'll have small units of special forces to go into action, this time with Jordanian special forces, and eventually Israel gets sucked into the fray.
This is bad. This is bad. We are going to see nuclear exchanges. We are going to enter the time that we've always dreaded. And I was hoping that we would have had a normal Christmas, and I hope that we do. But something tells you we're never going to make it to Christmas before we see something radically occur inside this country as a result of our provocateuring. But that's only because that the Committee of 300,
sure,
the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, must have this happen.
How easy do you think it's going to be? And one more thing, then I'll
sure.
Hussein, our friend, has already given orders to send, he sent special forces of his own into northern Iraq to ambush and night raid attack, destroy Kurdish and U.S. camps, communication base and arms, because his intelligence says the United States is already in there. Seek the element of surprise. Each unit will act on its own, must fight without any outside help. The average Iraqi commando squad is composed of 5 to 6 well-trained fighters. In other words, these guys are already going after U.S. special forces and CIA agents, which are already in northern Iraq.
I have to say that so much like the Third Reich, with the burning down of the Reichstag, which they blamed on the bad old communists so that the Nazis could say, hey, we can take care of this.
And we've been blaming stuff on the communists now for 50 or 60 years.
However, updated to the Fourth Reich, and we have 9/11. And there was prior knowledge, folks, and we'll do a show just on it. If you haven't already come across scads of information that there was prior knowledge. So our Reichstag was 9/11 with the bad old Muslims. And that gives us the justification now to go on the supposedly anti-terrorist binge, which has done nothing for us inside the United States except deprive us of our freedoms one by one.
That pretty much says it all, as much as we can say in 28 minutes.
On this August 16th.
August 16th. So all the only thing I can tell you to do is stay plugged in, stay informed, listen to multiple news sources, and we will talk to you again.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. From the Grassy Knoll is a production of Dade City Community Radio. This program highlights pertinent issues deliberately not reported by our managed information service. You are encouraged to rebroadcast this show on local grassroots non-commercial stations. Also, you are invited to comment on this and other programs by emailing us at dcmicroradio@aol.com. For Dade City Community Radio, I'm Dr. Swain.